Hello and welcome to That's a Thing, a sometimes belated, already outdated guide to your teens, tweens, and everything under 20. I'm already Tracer and Elizabeth.
And I'm Karen, and we're a proud member of the Alberta Podcast Network powered by ATB, and you'll hear more about that and our sponsors later in the show. I got that joke.
I'm so proud.
Yeah.
Okay, so this week we're hit or miss. I guess they never miss, huh? You got a boyfriend. I bet he doesn't understand this reference.
I barely understand this reference.
Woo! We're doing something a little bit different to wrap up the year. For the first half of this episode, I will regale Mom with the wonders of TikTok, the new-ish social media sensation sweeping my generation. Then, after the break, our resident meme historian and my little brother, Jonathan, will return to give her a rundown of what the internet found funny in 2018. Sound good?
Sounds great.
Woo! Why am I wooey today? I don't understand. Okay, so what do you know about TikTok?
Well, I know that it is... what do I know about TikTok? I know that it is a thing that people go on to lip sync to take videos of themselves lip syncing to, and that it has become a sort of collaborative platform, not only for music, but for memes and jokes and also less savory things.
Yep.
Is that
that's
right?
Actually, yeah, that's a really good rundown. Episode's over, Mom summed it up. Okay. We're fine. Okay, I'm going to give some background, though, just to flesh out the storyline here. TikTok originated in China back in September 2016, which is, like, very old for a social media platform that's just getting attention, under the company ByteDance. That's, like, Byte, like, Gigabyte, B-Y-T-E. And it was designed to allow users to create videos lip-syncing to popular songs. And it became really, really, really popular in Asia. So, like, China, it was really big in Taiwan, I think, that kind of thing. I totally know geography. but it only gained clout in North America back in November of 2017 when it merged with the American lip-syncing app Musical.ly. Had you ever heard of Musical.ly, Mom?
I had heard of Musical.ly. It seemed to be the thing that all tweens were on a little while ago.
It was a very tweeny app.
Mm-hmm.
I was like just too old to be into Musical.ly by like 2 years. Small mercies. It was a very what we would call in the biz of being a internet aware teenager, a normie platform. So people who weren't super into deep meme culture and the more Reddity side of things, borderlining on 4chan, not quite, they would not use it because of that.
Right. It's kind of like, to me, from the very outside looking in, kind of like one step up from Snapchat filters or Instagram stories filters.
I'd consider it one step down from that, actually.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, it was super normie. People wouldn't even make like cringe compilations of it because it wasn't even that funny. It was just bad. Like, it's a weird concept, a lip syncing platform, because all you do is you stand there and a song plays in the background and you move your mouth. And it doesn't really have the artistry of like proper drag queen style lip sync battle lip syncing. It's just a person in their room who's mouthing words. So it is a kind of weird concept to have become so popular.
I guess in the olden days, we used to have like whole afternoons at school dedicated to air guitar competitions that were basically the same thing. But
that's like live action and uses your whole body. That's like some sort of physical feat. You have to know how to move your arms.
Maybe, sort of.
Okay, but anyway, Musical.ly got incorporated into the company under ByteDance and gained the name TikTok instead. And with that, it gained a couple of features and it gained some new partnerships. So it has partnerships with a lot of services like Apple Music, which is why having songs playing in the background for 16 seconds isn't copyright claimable.
Oh, I was wondering.
It's friends with these other services, so it provides the chosen clips from those songs. So you can also speak, and it will record your own voice and what you're saying. So you could technically sing along, and you shouldn't.
Some people should, maybe. Yeah.
But also, like, it provides certain songs for you to use. Like, it has Thank You Next by Ariana Grande. A clip from that's available, and that's, like, a number one hit, super big. So it has access to the songs people want to lip sync to, which is a huge advantage for it. Videos can be up to 15 seconds long. So it gives you a time constraint, but it's not as strict as Vine was. If you know anything about Vine, can you explain Vine?
Vine was a platform that had a 6-second time limit.
Yeah.
And it was incorporated into Twitter, right?
Yes.
And it's amazing what people could do in 6 seconds on Vine.
Yeah.
And both of those examples are how a constraint creates an opportunity for enormous creativity.
Yeah. And this just gives you a little bit more time for that creativity. And we'll see how that comes in a little bit later. The biggest change to the platform, though, was the option to duet with other users. And that's when a person makes a response or addition to the original video, which goes up on the responder's TikTok account. And so it will show both videos side by side, and you can add to what a person is saying, you can make fun of what a person is saying, all that stuff.
And that person doesn't have to consent to you doing that?
No. You can just do it.
Okay, so if I made a TikTok video of me lip syncing adorably to Thank You Next.
I can't imagine this happening.
Me neither.
Suspension of disbelief gone.
But just say I did that. Any random person could come in and duet with me sincerely, or totally make fun of me, or like make barfing actions while I was doing it or anything, and it would just be there for me to see?
Yeah.
I see.
I see you see some problems with this. Another cool thing is you can duet duets and duets of duets and duets of duets of duets and duets of duets and duets of duets. So you can have infinite chains of these, which is really cool. And it's like seeing a meme grow in action, which is actually really fascinating and a great illustrator. This resulted in a meme renaissance, the likes of which we have not seen since Vine.
Okay.
This was the return of the cringe compilation.
Okay.
You have no idea how happy the internet was when cringe compilations came back, because we were living off of like 4-year-old Vine compilations for ages.
So just to be clear, a cringe compilation is something that ends up on YouTube.
Yes.
Right. Okay.
And a cringe compilation is when somebody finds a bunch of videos from a platform that are quote unquote cringy, which means that they're like upsettingly bad in a funny way. It's very complicated. Puts them in like a 15-minute long video full of ads. Some of them promote their own merch. Uh-huh. It's kind of an interesting thing, too, because they're definitely capitalizing on other people's work, but also they're providing a service by choosing the ones that are actually funny, so you don't have to find the funny ones by yourself. So I don't really know where I stand ethically on them.
Mm-hmm. But it's several layers of remix here, right?
So yeah.
We have original poster on TikTok who makes the possibly sincere lip sync video. And then somebody else or multiple people glom onto that. And then that gets picked up by one of these aggregators on a compilation on YouTube. And it's those guys that actually make any money from it if they have a big enough channel that they are monetized.
Yep. Welcome to the internet.
I wonder if there's going to be any case law develop around like the original. That must be in the terms of service that it's okay. Anybody can do whatever they want with your video, but it's weird that people are okay with that.
Yeah, well, like it's hard to monetize something like 15 seconds long. Like, that's why Vine died, because you can't put ads on 6-second long videos. Nobody's gonna have the patience to watch an ad that's as long as the video they're watching, right? It's the same thing,
right? Which is an interesting thing, because Vine didn't die because of lack of use. Vine was really well used and was growing, and was the source of all kinds of creativity and humor and horribleness and everything, right?
Yes. It was.
And TikTok's the same.
Yeah, yeah. The way TikTok, like, this is only speculation. There's shockingly little information about how TikTok earns money. But generally what I found is it probably doesn't. Like, it can't host ads. I thought it did, but, like, I've been on the platform. It doesn't. So individual users can get sponsorships, but that doesn't go to the company. So the kind of speculation I've seen is that because ByteDance is an Asian company, it's a Chinese company, it's really just using TikTok to get a foothold in North America. And it has the money to pour into that. And it is collecting data from users, which is always, like, they're probably going to sell it if they haven't sold it already. You've sold your soul to Google. Everybody has. We've given up. We have a Google Home now, so the Secret Service is listening. It's fine.
Ah,
privacy is dead. Okay, but the reason that there's so many memes on TikTok comes from a really interesting source that is so unique to my generation. The original users of Musical.ly, which came onto TikTok, there was a large Tumblr community. Can you explain what stereotypical Tumblr is like, Mom, as somebody who actually uses Tumblr, like garbage?
What do you mean by garbage? Well, I mean, my corner of Tumblr is maybe not super typical, but I would say that in general, Tumblr is a progressive place and a place where people tend to, you know, be... Yeah, left-leaning and open to progressive values.
Yeah, very LGBTQ+ friendly, like stereotypically very, very, very left-wing, like probably in the stereotype more left-wing than it is, and full of furries. We're finally talking about furries. I've dreaded this day. So a lot of those people were on TikTok. But anyway, a lot of these Tumblr people came onto TikTok and were just the main people, and they were using it in the way it was intended to be used, just as lip syncing. There was a lot of cool cosplay going on, a lot of bad cosplay going on, a lot of people in fursuits being their furry selves. Do we need to explain what a furry is?
Maybe.
Can you explain what a furry is?
A furry is somebody who likes to dress up as a stuffed animal or a mascot or something like that.
They look like mascots. Yeah. It's like expensive costumes that look like cartoonish animals.
Yeah.
It's a whole subset of internet culture I don't feel like explaining in its entirety, but basically the outside world sees them as very cringy, very mockable.
Yeah, although, like, who cares? It makes them happy. But anyway, yeah.
Do you know anything about the gamer community, Mom?
The gamer community?
Yeah, yes.
They're not nice. Some of them are not nice.
Yeah. So gamer here is a term that doesn't just refer to all people who play video games. It's actually a very specific label that people have chosen for themselves. To be a gamer is generally to be a person around my age. So, like, I'd say 15 to 19, basically always male, interested in video games, kind of a loser, very self-deprecating, and also very interested in making fun of other people and being as offensive as possible. So that means making fun of, like, LGBTQ+, making fun of, like, people of different races. It's mostly white people, but not entirely white people, gamers, but, like, if you're not white, you're probably making fun of your race. That makes sense.
Okay, so people who might be drawn to 4chan or just sort of that kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah. And women who are in the community are quote unquote property. Like, that's the joke. They act as property. They make sandwiches all the time. They wash dishes. That's their content. Like, they're playing along with this very misogynistic idea. And I feel like if you watched a lot of these, you'd have so much to say about it, knowing you.
It reminds me of biker gangs. Like, the stereotypical biker gang has women like that in it who are attached to a man and I don't know.
Yeah, or like new communalist hippies.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, we're the counterculture, but the counterculture means women have to go all the way back to square one. It's really interesting how that keeps working out, but whatever.
Okay, so we have left-wing Tumblr, and we have sort of...
the gamer community. We'll just call them that.
Retrograde gamer, okay.
And the gamer community kind of collectively decided that they were going to invade TikTok, and they created hashtag furry war. And the idea is you end up with a bunch of dudes wearing like masks and communism like hats, like the like stereotypical Russian style of hat, I don't know the name of, but like it would have the hammer and sickle on it.
Okay.
A lot of imagery like that. And they're holding like Nerf guns and the like duet furries like firing guns at them and stuff. And like it's just gotten more complicated from there. So it's actually an intricate improv storyline put together by this community of like nothing better to do trolls.
That sounds terrible.
It's hilarious.
No,
it's so funny.
Except it's terrible because they're going in there to ruin people's fun.
Yes.
That's bad.
Yes. That doesn't make it not funny.
Yes, it does.
It doesn't.
Okay, are the furries like organizing a counter revolution?
It depends which ones. There are people who play along with the joke, and there are people who get very upset and react upsettedly on the platform and then get made fun of for getting upset. Getting upset is another thing that gamers don't let you do without being mocked.
This is just like the industrialization of bullying. I hate it. I hate it.
Yeah. TikTok is actually really unique because it's really embraced the meme status of its platform, which means that meme posts will actually appear on the front page. Like Hit or Miss, the one I referenced earlier, it's this really bad song that people like to do joking video parodies of, and we'll link some in the show notes so that you can experience TikTok firsthand, as I'm sure I've sold you on doing. But like there were tons of those when I was reading the front page after having to install TikTok on my phone, which I'm still upset about. But like, so it's totally embraced that. But on the other side of that coin, that means that there isn't a ton of regulation on the platform in terms of preventing bullying from happening. Like the platform hasn't really taken a stance and said, we're going to crack down on this. So the only people complaining about being bullied or bullying on the platform are the people who are being bullied.
Okay, I hate that part. I hate that part. I hate that the platform doesn't think that it has to do anything design-wise or otherwise to stop that from happening. And it also seems counterproductive to what they want to do and what this started out being, like how this became successful in the first place.
Well, it has increased the name recognition significantly. I mean, it's almost a good marketing call because it's removed any regulation and it's given it a more mainstream internet audience because it's no longer a thing that tweens enjoy. It's a thing older teenagers like to laugh at. And that's a good market. If we're still watching Vine compilations, imagine how long we're going to be watching TikTok compilations.
I guess it's, again, though, TikTok doesn't even seem to make discernible money out of this, only the people that smash this all together in long enough to advertise on YouTube videos do.
But it's the name recognition they're probably looking for. And so having a name and a successful business in North America, and specifically the States, is probably exactly what they wanted.
Okay. Can we talk about the good part of TikTok, though?
That's the good part of TikTok. No.
People being mean to each other is not. But there, you showed me some TikTok videos that they're pretty funny. And some of them were like funny to me without having any explanation. Lots of them needed quite a bit of explanation for me to be able to get the joke, because it's built on layers and layers of prior knowledge.
Yeah, it is very Vine-esque for sure. And I think because it's actually a younger creator base than even Vine had, it's almost more fresh and more creative, and people are allowed to get away with more. Like, TikTok comedians, quote-unquote, are a joke because they're all 20-year-old guys trying to make tweens laugh. The actual funny people on TikTok are people my age who think out, like, intricate, bizarro humor situations that have nothing to do with the premise of the app.
Right. So something like cranberry Sprite?
Sprite cranberry.
Sprite cranberry. Okay, so people will do like all kinds of riffs on Sprite Cranberry, which originates with what?
Sprite Cranberry was originally from last year. It was an ad of Michael Jordan singing about giving somebody Sprite Cranberry for Christmas. And it kind of died for a while. And then the meme came back through TikTok with the idea of Michael Jordan has to like bust through your door to offer you a Sprite Cranberry.
And so then now on TikTok, there's all kinds of jokes that rely on you understanding that Sprite Cranberry is funny.
Yes. Sprite Cranberry is funny.
You also showed me some things that are what I would call performance art, mm-hmm. like that would be worthy of a gallery showing because of the creativity that was involved in making the optical illusion that's involved there, or creating the opportunity for this bizarre collaboration over space and time among strangers who don't know what the next person is going to do.
For sure. Yeah. Like there's Fortnite dance performance art. It's like you wouldn't think it could be a thing, but it totally is. Like people will, you're allowed to do it yourself as well. So what people will do is they'll create multiple videos syncing up them doing like a Fortnite dance. And it's actually really mesmerizing to watch how in sync they can get. Like
it is. It's beautiful in a way. Like and admirable that people can pull this off.
And it's doused in irony.
But does it have to be? Can't you? Is there anybody making compilations that are like mom friendly?
Mom friendly TikTok compilations.
No. Cruelty free?
No. You could like go onto TikTok and find cool things that aren't cruel, but the money is in the making fun of people. That's where the big bucks are.
Okay, but we don't care about big bucks. We just care about small bucks.
We don't. We'll share a ton of really cool ones in the show notes.
Yeah. But I feel like there's a hole in the market. You could be...
No. Cease talking. Gone.
But it would be nice if someone was just paying attention to the pure stuff.
Okay, but this is like such an... I'm sorry, but this is such an old person point of view, Mom. My generation has built itself up... Well, the gamer-esque side of my generation has built itself up on cynicism and irony and everything is terrible, including me and you. So I don't think we do that. And unless we get a ton of non-creepy, reasonable, art-interested adults willing to collect this stuff and say, look at how significant this actually is, nothing's going to happen.
Okay, I'm issuing the challenge to someone out there because I what you showed me was really, some of it was really quite stunningly good to me. And but I don't want to wade through all the awful stuff to get to it.
I think the furry war deserves more commendation for how like intricate the storyline is, being entirely improv by terrible people. So like, I still think that's also high art, but I understand like how the bullying thing puts a damper in your enjoyment of it.
Hugely.
But this is the difference, I think, in our ages and me growing up with the internet and you not, though, like significantly. But whatever. Like, I do think there is artistic merit to TikTok that my generation is never going to tap into because of our worldview. So,
or not so much tap into, because you still admire some of that stuff.
Absolutely.
It's just, but you're not interested in curating it and separating it from what I would consider the chaff.
No. No. No, and my generation wouldn't seek it out.
All right. Well, let me tell you, art historians and stuff, there's some really good stuff buried in a whole bunch of horrible stuff, and it's worth looking at.
Yeah. Do you want to talk about the pedophilia problem?
Ah! I guess.
This is something that...
Okay. Did you, like, lay a trap? I just said, wow, this is kind of good. There's some stuff that's kind of unpleasant, but, you know, people should look at this. Let me tell you about Okay. What?
Okay. So this has just recently become more significant, and it might be grabbed by the mainstream media, depending on whether they feel like being mad at the internet again. They do it every once in a while, and it's always very dumb. So Tide Pods Part 2 coming soon. But TikTok, because it has a large group of young people on it, any adult who's on that platform is going to seem kind of sketchy, right? And if you're, say, 45 years old and you're duetting somebody who's clearly 12 years old, it's creepy. Yes? Can we agree?
Yes.
Yeah. And so there have been at least a few cases of people who have, like, duetted a bunch of young, often girls on TikTok, and have tried to get their like Snapchats and stuff, and have actually been sending messages and are totally using it to groom children and prey on children.
Okay, well, that is terrifying, and that's going to make every parent who's listening to this want to grab their kids' devices and take TikTok off of it.
Yeah. I mean, I think the best thing you can do for your kids is educate them, because these people like aren't gonna go away. We can't send Chris Hansen to every like social media platform. We don't have enough Chris Hansens to deal with it. So
who's Chris Hansen?
He's the To Catch a Predator
guy. Oh, that guy. Ugh, I don't like that show either. But anyway,
neither do I.
No.
But like, we have insufficient like, we just don't have the resources to deal with it. And if you want to prevent your kid from having fun with people their own age in order to protect them, it's just not realistic, and they're going to hate you for it. So like, the best thing you can do is just educate and like ask questions.
And make sure that if they do get a message from a creepy guy that duetted with them, that they know to reject that and or ignore it or
block that person.
Block, yeah, that person.
Anyway, so if you see TikTok in the news, there's a high chance it's going to be for that becoming increasingly talked about. Although I don't actually think TikTok's significantly worse than most social media platforms.
Well, except that so many of the users are so young. And
yeah,
there is a sort of a built-in, makes possible and even encourages talking to strangers or interaction with strangers in a way, or mm-hmm. allowing strangers to interact with you.
And they already know what you look like too. Like,
yeah.
The gamers all hide their faces, but most people don't hide their faces because it's a lip syncing app. You need to see your lips. So it's an easy way to pick a target too, which is kind of scary, but...
All right. Well, I'm very conflicted about this. I do want to, like, there is something going on right now with social media platforms around trying to figure out a way to police, sex crimes, I guess. Mm-hmm. Tumblr has changed enormously since December 17th, when all content that was deemed by robots to be not safe for work has been flagged and taken down. And that was in reaction, and some people say in overreaction, to a controversy around some people using Tumblr to further their pedophilic desires. And I wonder if that might spread around.
Maybe. I mean, the United States has been putting in a lot of, let's protect, like, sex workers and stuff, legislation that's actually hurt those people. Mm-hmm. And the, like, websites and internet companies tend to react by complying with the harshest restriction in whatever country. That's why there was the whole "we're changing our terms of service" thing a while ago, where everybody had to tell you they were changing their terms of service. That's because in Europe, they put in a new law. And so literally every company was like, okay, better make sure we're complying with this new, harsher law. Like, that's why we're worried about the bill coming into Europe that might affect whether memes are possible anymore. Because if that's passed, then it's going to affect everything. It's really uncertain. So I think I'm going to talk about Article 11 and Article 13 in a future episode if memes get banned. Speaking of memes.
Shall we bring your little brother in to talk about memes of 2018?
We should talk about a sponsor first.
Okay, well, let me tell you about this episode of That's a Thing is brought to you by Park Power, a provider of electricity and natural gas in Alberta that offers low rates, awesome service, and profit sharing with local charities. Park Power is owned by Chris Kozowski, who has a growing and well-deserved reputation for being a guy who cares. Also so nice and just the sort of guy that every time you talk to him, it makes your day better. I can vouch for this for sure. He walks his talk with his business. Park Power shares 10% of its profits with local charities like the Boys and Girls Club of Strathcona County, the Altview Foundation for Gender Variant and Sexual Minorities, and a whole bunch of other really good causes that he contributes to, in addition to making it possible for us to buy our power locally. So you can learn all about Park Power and the good it does and the good it will do you at parkpower.ca. This episode of That's a Thing is brought to you by the Edmonton Community Foundation, which acts as a bridge between donors and charities to help create a strong, vibrant community for generations to come. It does that by helping people start endowment funds that keep giving to a cause far into the future. The ECF, Elizabeth, won an award this year for the Well Endowed podcast, which shares stories about donors and what inspires their generosity, as well as the people who use the foundation's support to build and sustain social initiatives, empower youth, strengthen arts and culture, and more.
The Well Endowed podcast also won Name of the Year.
They should. We grant you Name of the Year. It's a very good name. And it's a very good show. And a great, the team that puts it together are a great pleasure to work with as well. So can't wait to see what they come up with in 2019. You can subscribe and read their excellent show notes and learn all about what they're up to at thewellendowedpodcast.com. Okay, so now that Elizabeth has schooled me about TikTok, we have John here to talk about some of the major memes of 2018. Hello, John.
Hi, remember me? I was in that, like, one episode?
Yes. Tell me about some memes that you noticed last year. All right? The first one, you're acting out, which is great for a podcast.
Yes.
You have your hands out to the side of your body, straight. And
these are called my arms, Mom.
Your arms, yes. And I believe that this is called a T pose.
It's actually called a reference pose.
A reference pose? What do you mean?
You clearly do not watch Richard and Mortimer. Rick and Morty. because you do not use the common name from the normal people.
I see. T-pose is what normies say. And
yes, you are a normie.
Yeah, I admit it fully.
Be gone.
Do you watch Rick and Morty?
No.
Oh, and how do you know this?
Because it's a meme. People who watch Richard and Mortimer are intellectual.
Okay.
Yes, like such, and they will quote such intellectual lines as, "I'm Pickle Rick!"
So you know the cultural off-gassing of Rick and Morty, but you don't know the show.
I know of the show.
Okay.
Anyway. I just don't watch it.
All right, thank you. Back to T-posing. What is that really?
A T-pose is the default state of most 3D models before animation is applied. So this applies to 3D games, just 3D things in general. Deep fright memes use T-posing, usually popular characters T-posing with nonsensical text and distorted images.
Okay, and that other episode that you were on before discusses what deep-fried memes are, so we can link to that in the show notes.
Go listen to it.
Okay, is there anything else that you want to talk about T-posing?
Alongside deep-fried memes, just T-posing in public for no reason. I am guilty of this.
Yes, I remember.
I have stood into a garbage can and T-posed.
Why?
For the memes.
You're doing real live memes.
I'm sorry, you have raised a terrible son.
That's not true.
You have failed. Go home. You're already at home.
I'm already home. So it is a thing, like, I don't know, like planking was a few years ago or something that people like do in public.
Kind of less dangerous though.
Well, planking's not dangerous unless you do it in a dangerous place.
You're not going to get hurt from T-posing on the escalator. If you're planking on the rail of an escalator, you're going to get hurt.
That's true. Don't try that at home. Okay.
And do not T-pose on a moving car or plank on a moving car. Because that was the thing people planked on.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
You're welcome.
Okay.
Here, I'm actually giving you knowledge.
You are actually giving me knowledge. Okay, give me some knowledge about another meme.
Somebody touch my spaghetti!
What is that?
So, in like the 40s or whenever, some people decided, hey, we're gonna make an animated adaption of Goldilocks. You know, the story where a girl trespasses and then like, and then causes property damage and wastes an innocent family's money.
Yes. Anyway, some people remade Goldilocks and the Three Bears.
But see, here's the thing. Okay, this is genius. The bears are Italian.
Ah. Stereotypically Italian.
Yes, and they eat spaghetti.
So, there was this cartoon, and the papa says, "Somebody touched my spaghetti," where the bear would have said, "Someone's been eating my porridge."
Yes.
Yes.
Because stereotypes are funny.
Right. So then this tiny excerpt from what presumably was the entire story.
Yes.
Became a meme.
Remixed meme.
A remixed meme. So
people take the clip and they change it. There's edits that just make the volume really loud.
Mm-hmm.
Ones that, like, combine it with songs that have, like, even just the word somebody.
Yeah.
Like, All Star. Somebody touch my spaghetti!
Okay. Do you think this is a good meme?
I think it's a dead meme.
It's a dead meme. When it was alive, do you think it was good?
No.
Okay. What's the next meme that you want to talk about?
Both of you should imply I want to talk about this one. People who thank the bus driver.
People who thank the bus driver. Okay. What is the manifestation of this meme?
It's a glorification of people who thank the bus driver. Or saying people who thank the bus driver are saints.
They're the best kind of people.
Yes.
And this sounds like a very wholesome thing, isn't it?
Yeah, it was. Like, the first image to use thanking the bus driver was a picture. There's three coffins. There's two of them were wooden. They were labeled poor people and rich people.
Uh-huh.
And then the other one was like an Egyptian tomb. It was labeled people who thank the bus driver. There were similar memes. People who clap when the plane lands, and people who sort by new on Reddit.
Okay, those are also people who should be celebrated, like...
The reason people who sort by new on Reddit are good is because usually, like, the default is sorting by hot, which is where all the memes that actually got upvoted are. But if you sort by new, you get all the new memes. So it's your job to downvote the bad ones and upvote the good ones.
So these are memes about being a good citizen.
Yes. Know what ruins that?
What?
Fortnite.
Why? How did Fortnite ruin it?
So you see, when the kids get on their magic light boxes, uh-huh, and they play their fork knives,
uh-huh,
first they jump out of this big flying bus.
Okay.
Now there's a button you can press when you jump out of the bus. And then text will pop up at the bottom of the screen. It will say, "You had thanked the bus driver."
I don't think that ruins it. I think that's clever.
I think it's Fortnite.
And you're not a Fortnite guy.
Fortnite has ruined at least three memes.
What are the other ones?
Lamp. And something else, I'm sure. Moths. They quite enjoy the lamps.
Okay, moths are drawn to lamps, and that became kind of a meme.
Yeah.
And how?
Brother, may I have lamp?
Okay, so then how did that infiltrate Fortnite?
Because there's a moth skin.
Is there?
Yes.
Ah.
Stop.
Why? Well, I find this interesting when this game integrates parts of pop culture on the fly like that. It's interesting.
And now the moth meme is dead.
Yeah.
Because of Fortnite.
Okay. Getting back to people who thank the bus driver, something that I've noticed as a person who rides the bus a lot, it legitimately feels like more people are thanking the bus driver in real life now than they used to.
Well, yeah. I mean, particularly kids, like, hey, that's a funny meme. Let's be nice to people now.
But that's nice. If that actually works, if people decide to be nice to other people because it's a meme and those other people experience that fully as niceness, then who cares? Seriously, if a meme and a joke makes people be civil and nice, isn't that good? Even if the people receiving that niceness don't know how sincere it is?
Sure.
Okay.
And maybe everyone will get along finally, and there'll be world peace.
Yeah, well...
And limes won't be as bad.
All right. Moving on. What's the next meme they want to talk about?
Hold on, I think I should give a warning. People who think the bus driver was already... Like, the relevance was already damaged by Fortnite.
Right.
It's completely dead because of YouTube Rewind.
Why?
Because it was in YouTube Rewind.
It was?
Yes.
Was Will Smith saying thanking the bus driver?
Okay, you're assuming that I have watched YouTube Rewind. Why would I put myself through that?
Well, shouldn't you for knowing...
I'm already putting myself through a traumatic experience as we record.
Okay. Seriously, you haven't watched YouTube Rewind?
Have you?
No.
Well, good.
But that's what I have children for. You're supposed to, like, know this stuff for me so that I don't have to.
All you have to know is it was bad. It was really bad.
How do you know?
That's why it's the most disliked video on YouTube.
How do you know it was bad if you didn't watch it?
How do you know murder is bad if you haven't tried it? Now we're talking about the next meme. I'm taking control of this. I am hijacking this.
Okay.
Surprise Pikachu.
Surprise Pikachu. What is that?
It's a picture of Pikachu from that popular other game, Pokebugs, that your children and your grandchildren like to play on their cellular devices and their other magic boxes.
Yes.
Specifically from the cartoon, the Pokemon mm-hmm. cartoon.
Right.
That comes out of your bigger magic light boxes.
Yes.
I don't know how to talk to old people.
Yes, well, you don't have to dumb it down quite that much, but go on. Pokemon, Pikachu, the little yellow one.
And it's just a surprised-looking Pikachu.
He has, like, his mouth in the shape of an O.
Yes, that's what people look like when they're surprised.
Anyway, surprise Pikachu, how is it used?
It has a very specific format. It'll be two sentences and then the picture. So, it'll be like me. I wonder what will happen if I forcefully bend this thing. Thing. Breaks. Me.
Surprise Pikachu.
Yes.
Okay. So it's a
This is why videos are easier to make, and you should abandon this immediately. Stop what you're doing.
I like narrating your pantomime. So, it's a way of indicating... wow, that was obvious. Okay, is Surprise Pikachu over?
It's still relatively popular on Twitter, but on other sites, it's pretty much gone.
Okay, is there any more that you want to tell me about?
Well, there's one that I actually like.
Oh, let's end with that one.
Steam Tams.
Tell me more about Steam Tams. What is that?
That's what I call hamburgers.
You call hamburgers Steam Tams?
Yes, it's original dialect.
What region?
Upstate New York.
Say I'm from upstate New York.
We're going to abandon this immediately. Okay.
All right. So this is a Simpsons story, right? Or an excerpt from Simpsons?
Yes, from the episode 22 Short Films About Springfield. Use of it actually goes back to late 2000s.
Right, because that's quite an old episode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With people just quoting the scene.
Right.
But it really became popular in 2018 when one of the writers of it released the original script for the sketch.
And then people started remixing it.
Yes.
And you enjoyed the remix.
Yes, these were good. I enjoy memes where you have to put effort in. Please try harder.
The original sketch, or whatever you want to call it, is pretty funny on its own.
That's why it took off. It's genuinely funny.
Yeah.
Like, somebody touching my spaghetti, that's funny for a little bit. Like, first time you see it, you might have quite a bit of laughter. Because that's just so weird.
So weird, so kind of in poor taste, and it's like a shocking kind of... humor, right?
Yeah.
But Steam Tams is actually funny.
Yeah.
And then people made it funnier.
Yes.
Yes.
Example of remix videos would be making the clip seem to be in style of a video game. Mm-hmm. Or Steam Tams, but every time something happens.
Right.
So, which is a common sort of set for these kind of videos.
With Steam Tams, it would be like every time...
Every time Skinner lies, it gets faster.
Right. And then, so then by the end, it's like super fast because he lies a lot.
Another one would be Steam Tams, but Skinner actually shows Chalmers the Aurora Borealis.
Okay.
Which you're not going to get unless you watch the thing, which you should do.
You should. We'll link to it in the show notes.
Yes.
I have one more question for you before we wrap up.
Well, too bad.
Please.
Fine.
What do you and other people of your age consider the Simpsons still relevant?
Not really.
Not really. Except
The Simpsons is objectively better than Family Guy.
Okay. But it's not the cultural touch point that it was for my generation, I suspect.
No.
No. Okay, thank you, sweetie. Thank you for helping me. Before we turn it back to our end credits here, I will just add that a little bit of good news for That's a Thing. We've been nominated for a Canadian Podcast Award.
Somehow.
Somehow. That's accurate. In the family and kids, or kids and family category. So truly, utterly, as they say, it's an honor to be nominated. All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Ew, I hope you do not invite me back.
Okay, so now I know a lot more about memes, thanks to John.
I wasn't really listening, but I'm sure it was great.
All right, we are wrapping up another great year with the Alberta Podcast Network, powered by ATB. Many thanks to ATB and all of our fellow podcasters. And here's to many more laughs and insights in the new year. You can find all of our shows at albertapodcastnetwork.com. And one more cool thing we can do because of the network is to offer you a bit of a deal on Seat Giant, a Canadian ticket resale marketplace. So if you want to go to a hockey game or a concert here in Edmonton or anywhere in North America, you should visit seatgiant.ca and use the offer code APN, all lowercase, to get 5% off your purchase. You'll be helping yourself and you'll be helping us too. We will link to our sponsors and our partners and everything that we talked about today in the show notes, which you will find at thatsathing.transistor.fm. Many thanks to Unit B Coworking for letting us record in their studio. You can subscribe to our show in Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, wherever else pods are cast. We got Dad a Google Home, as we mentioned, for Christmas. And besides being constantly surveyed, we can also make our podcast play on it, right?
Yes, we can.
Yes, we can.
Play it for the NSA.
We're on Twitter at That's a Thing YEG. You can always email us a question or a comment at thatsathingyeg@gmail.com. Is that all?
I think that's everything.
Okay, thanks, sweetheart.
Thank you. Bye.